Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Bubbles. This is a commentary episode of Season 7, Episode 7, Along Came Jones. So that means that we are watching Season 7, Episode 7, Along Came Jones of NYPD Blue while making this episode of NYPD Blue Bubbles. There is a countdown at the very beginning of the episode if you want to follow along with us, or if you just want to listen after watching the episode, or you don't want to watch the episode at all, it's your life. You make your own decisions. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. It's how people see the show, and hopefully more people see the show on those platforms, and then hopefully more people start watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. That's really the whole point of this thing, to get more people watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. Anyway, like I said, it's a commentary episode. Listen for the countdown. And hopefully I will catch you at the end of this podcast to talk about some more stuff. Enjoy! One, two, three, hit the button. Hey everybody, welcome back to NYPD Blue Bubbles. This is Along Came Jones.
Did you forget the title, or...?
No, I don't know why I sang-song it, or sing-songed it. Well, I don't know. My words are fucked up today.
Doesn't that dude look like David Caruso?
Which dude?
The dead dude in the beginning. The one who's sitting, laying dead on the floor.
Oh, maybe.
He looks like a little David Caruso. He's got red hair.
Oh, he does. He does look a little David Caruso. I was distracted by the fact that they remind us that Medavoy is without a partner three times in, like, less than 10 seconds.
And he whines like such a bitch, dude, about it. Like, oh, I'm a loner today. It's like, that's your whole life, dog. Like,
well, I love how I think Sipowicz says, "You look like ham without cheese," and I was like, fucking nailing it.
The oldest, whitest shit in the world.
So this scene is interesting to me because once they find out this guy's a cop, then everybody's attitude jumps high. Sipowicz is upset with the uniform guy for not looking through his pockets, and the uniform guy's like, "You don't want us to look through the pockets." And Sipowicz has got full-on warthog face.
Sipowicz has given himself an aneurysm.
And we're here at the credits. This is NYPD Blue Bubbles, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And this is Season 7, Episode 7.
Oh, my bad.
Along Came my Jones. Bad. What's up?
My bad. Just stepping all over your dick.
It's fine.
What was I going to say? No, I just find it, like, again, it's like, because he's a cop now, they give a shit that there's a dead person in the street.
Well, it also has this little bit of a play where they're like, "Oh, I had a feeling it was a cop," and I was like, "So they do have a look."
Oh yeah, for sure they do.
like that means they saw the body and they're all like, "That looks like a cop."
Especially during this era. This is the era of cop where like there was like open about, like, hey, if you were a cop, you were racist. So, of course, there was a look.
Oh, my gosh.
It was, like, white dude with parted hair. Like,
they look like Medavoy. They're a cop.
Kirk, I don't deal with a lot of cops in New York City. But a lot of the cops I've had to deal with have mostly been, like, retired because they are, like, they deal with the security company we deal with. Or they dealt with, like the alarm company or something, you know. They all have a fucking look. They all look like Sipowicz with hair. They all have a mustache. They all have hair parted or they're bald, and they all talk like Sipowicz. Where they're like it's fucking unbelievable. I'm not generalizing. Not all cops look like that, but a lot of them do.
They all look like Mike Roberts.
yeah, for sure.
And right now I believe it. It wouldn't surprise me. Now, this scene is interesting because, as we know from the last episode, Russell is aware that Don is dead. Kirkendall doesn't know that, and Kirkendall only spots that Russell is wearing Bobby's old ring, and she's thinking that's a little interesting.
But is it, though?
She just never done it before.
Okay, but what if today was the day she decided? You know what I mean?
I mean, it is her business, if she wants to or not. Also, like, here is Baldwin Jones. He technically hasn't introduced himself yet, but it is Baldwin Jones. And I always Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I always forget how big he is.
Dude is like, this is the first character that you see when they're generally like thinking about women watching the show.
Yep. I was going to say the same fucking thing.
It's the first character where they're like, okay, like we're going to bring in a new character and like, okay, we're taking a lot of heat for like constantly having hot women with like their shirts off and shit. Let's give the women some eye candy.
Let's throw the women a bone, as it were.
Yeah. Let's give them something to talk about.
Because it's not just, I mean, because we'll get to a scene that is clearly eye candy for the ladies and homosexual, bisexual, pansexual men.
Straight men. Don't be closed off, dude.
But
some straight men might find them attractive.
Here's the awkward situation where he's being introduced in the middle of a cop killing. What was that?
I said, don't put us in a box.
Don't put straight men in a box. I think they also were like, let's get the ultimate foil to Metavoy, a giant black dude.
Oh, 100%. 100%. They were definitely like, let's give Metavoy the total opposite of him. A tall, like, super in shape black man, for sure.
Who also, I mean, good natured, like, not a problem. And there isn't a huge hint to it yet, but I think also learned. Like, they kind of give the impression that he's well-read.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also interesting, we skipped over one thing. Sipowicz is upset that they have to talk to the wife and the other woman of this cop because he assumes it has nothing to do with his death. And
now, Sipowicz automatically, like, Sipowicz is just like marking his territory, right? Like letting people know, like letting them know, like, hey, I'm Sipowicz.
Well, what he's doing is he's freaking out because Baldwin mentions a colleague that lets Sipowicz know he's a part of the bias unit, which is, you know, kind of an important unit to make sure that your officers aren't letting their personal biases and prejudices affect their work. And Sipowicz is like, now we can't tell jokes. And it's like, what?
it's like the Office episode when they couldn't do That's What She Said anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Can't tell jokes now.
And then here is where
Office culture's dead.
Here is where Metavoy lets him know that he doesn't know shit about authors, and mentions his former wife used to read. He didn't. And then Baldwin's like, hey, can we get out of here? Because I'd love to keep talking, but I got a job.
I got a job to do. You know, like, the job I came in to do today was, you know, solve crimes, not talk about what my mother names me.
So here they get the,
you know, that's all.
And then we have Metavoy walking out.
See,
like,
how fucking cool Metavoy thinks he is, dude.
Dude, I also love how John is like digging that Jones.
Yeah.
John is like, what?
Because like a gentleman, he comes back and apologizes for not saying hello when he walked in because he was nervous.
Speaking of gentlemen, here's JB to grab his dick.
So good.
So JB comes in and he's like, look, man, I got a guy that can help you with your cop killer. And JB is clearly a little high.
Nah. Was he high? Couldn't tell.
And then fucking, what's his name? Wow. Schroeder. Sorensen basically goes super hard on him because he's like, if you're fucking high, get the fuck out of here. Like,
I kind of wish like that's really what happened. That would have been great. Like, that could have been the scene. Little Ricky Schroeder.
The Ricky Schroeder.
As long as he could yell at him, I'm an American citizen.
Well, what I find interesting about this, because I didn't realize till just now, they find out it was a junkie who did this. I mean, spoiler alert, I apologize. I doubt you're watching the episode with us right now. But they find out that a drug user is who is behind this murder.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, did he have a hint? But because he was high, Schroeder just kicked his ass out?
Probably.
Which kind of sucks because they then go through this huge rigmarole because someone called in and anonymously mentioned that the DOA had a side hustle, side chick. And Sipowicz is like, I don't want to talk to him about that. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, my thing was going in and out. Apologies.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I didn't, because I can't see my phone. I want to make sure it didn't end the call.
No. You're all good.
Also, all good. He also, like, really takes a shot at Siegfried and Roy for no fucking reason.
Oh, because they're homos. It's the only reason.
Oh, because they're homos. And then
Fancy's really mad about not being told about Jones.
I mean, he should be. You gotta let people know.
Yeah, that a new person's transferring to your squad. That might be nice.
And then he, like, grabs his shit and he's like, 45 minutes. Now, I don't usually do this on this show. I don't usually do this when I'm watching anything. Do you find this woman incredibly attractive?
No.
Okay, because I did. I was kind of struck by her, where I was like,
oh,
fuck.
You were awestruck?
I was a little awestruck. I was like, what the fuck? Because it was also like, I think I felt like they kind of went with, okay, we need to make sure that people understand that if this cop is going to cheat on his wife, the partner's got to be banging.
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's going to be the hottest partner ever. Like, well, let's be real, dude. Like, a lot of the women cops that they brought in could be models.
Yeah, you're right.
So, like,
you're right.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying that there aren't pretty women cops out there, but the average isn't that high. You know what I mean?
We're not saying that women, female cops, cannot be attractive. We're just saying that it is not a 10 out of 10 across the board that they're attractive.
Yeah. Yes.
Because
there's a thing called a medium.
Because, and even when I say attractive, like, you could be attracted to anything, but, like, conventional attractive traits are not in every single police woman, unless you're watching television.
Same thing with men, too.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, look at how hot Sipowicz is.
Looks like Metaboy.
But I enjoyed this scene because Sipowicz has to, like, he has to antagonize her, and he does such a good job.
Well, he has to get down to what's going on. He doesn't care that they're fucking. he's like just trying, he literally is just trying to find out who killed this dude.
And then he does, there's like really great moments where he's like, you didn't give me a yes or a no. He asks like three separate times. He's like, I'm still not hearing it.
Yeah. And that pisses people off.
And also, another thing comes out of this interview that's pretty fun. Because she hits him with what I thought was coffee. Maybe it's water. But then I thought, how many spare shirts does he keep around for possible coffee and water throwing?
Oh, he probably has like one or two in the office, in the locker. You don't know what will happen when you're out, you know, talking to people, you know, run, get into a little scrap. Gotta take people down.
Scrapping it out. Giving them the one, two.
I bet you when Sifowitz was young, when Sifowitz was a younger cop, you know, changed his shirt for one that didn't have blood all over it.
Wow. So this guy is James Pickens Jr., and you might recognize him for being on Grey's Anatomy for almost two fucking decades.
Yeah. He was the main, like, doctor, right? Like,
I think he was like their, or something like that. I think he was, like, their boss.
Yeah.
Like, head of the department or whatever.
Yeah.
But this scene was kind of dope. Because I forgot what this dude was all about. But he's head of the bias unit. And he got rid of Jones because he believes Jones has too much, what's the word, what's the word? He listens too much. He looks for context.
There's empathy?
Yeah, he tries to understand the nuance of a situation, whereas this guy, his boss, was like, nah, fuck him. Which I think is probably more the way people would see it now, is what this guy is saying. Because he even brings up...
You can see he's a little... You can see the real reason there's this awkward conversation, and it's because he doesn't. He has some hatred towards Sifowitz.
Well, yeah, it's.
We know the hatred. I mean, we know why he doesn't like Sifowitz, because Sifowitz probably said some racist ass shit to him.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Well, fuck this guy," and then Fancy is just. Probably a guy who's like, I got to do my job here, so I'm not trying to, you know, like, rock the boat or anything. Well, so I'm just going to make sure that I can work with Sifowitz, and we can, you know, I don't know, I think there's a lot for Fancy to have to deal with. Like, I think being a black man in charge of a squad, like, even if Sifowitz is racist and everyone knows he's racist, if it doesn't work out, they're not going to look at it being Sifowitz was the problem. They're going to look at him being the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he has to make it work with Sifowitz no matter what, even if Sifowitz, like, is a bastard man who's drunk all the time. He has to make it work.
Well, it's also...
He's going to snap a knife. Did you see that? He snapped a knife in half.
Yeah, I also love how this is...
In a montage.
Yeah, this is classic NYPD Blue shakedown montages where they're shaking down this drug dealers and prostitutes.
Yeah, this is classic. Let me tell you some stuff without having to talk. We're going to show you how badass Jones is. We're going to show you a Metavoy thinking he's like the new cool kid in school. I remember I liked those little montages. Those were pretty fun.
Yeah, they are fun. I dig them, too. They especially do it with this one to show you quickly how badass Jones is.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, we need to show you how badass this new dude is. They did it with Bobby, his first day.
They did it with... they did it in a different way with Sorensen. They didn't make him look physically badass. They made him look emotionally badass with how he dealt with Diane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was like, oh, and but when Sifowitz was like, yeah, why did you take that? Like, he was like, don't you think I took it because maybe Diane wasn't ready?
Yeah.
Like, and then it was like, oh, he's a caring dude. He gives a shit about his team.
But right now, Sifowitz is in his classic, I'm stressed out, it's everybody else's problem modes.
Yeah.
And then Sorensen is like, how about you breathe? And he's like, I don't do that. He's like, you don't breathe?
Andy Sibowitz reminds me so much of Neff.
Neff.
With some of the shit that he would say. Okay, yeah. So why they do this a lot in NYPD Blue, right? They make the wife that's being cheated on look so homely.
Yes, they do.
Compared to the woman that's doing the cheating. And I get it, I don't get it. It's weird. Right? Am I wrong?
Well, this one's great because this is a married woman who basically says, look, I know my husband was cheating. I was giving him time to figure it out how to do it and how to be right. And I was like, oh, so you were giving him permission to cheat. Fantastic. But the other thing that caught me by surprise, this woman is Anne Dowd, and she's a pretty big famous face. She was Joan in Hereditary, great movie. She was in Garden State. She was in Manchurian Candidate. She's in Handmaid's Tale. She's one of the leads in a movie called Compliance that I haven't seen yet, but looks really, really good, and I'm going to watch it on Amazon as soon as I can. This woman has been in a bunch of shit and killed it.
No, she's a really good actress in this scene.
But they intentionally made her look pretty, pretty homely.
Yeah. But it's like a trope in NYPD Blue. It's something that they do.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably something that they did during this time and like during all of the TV. But like, it's a weird way to not fetishize, but like make the
infantilize
the and make it like the cheaty better, like it gives it like a I don't know, it's just really weird. Every time it happens I always like trip out on it.
This is also great how Sipowicz was like, oh, they said that female partners were gonna start happening. The wives protested outside the station, and then Sorensen's like, yeah, that's when men invented cheating.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot. But what I also love is that character, that wife character said, that woman isn't a selfish girl. And you know what? Women supporting women. You gotta love it.
Well, I don't know if you mentioned this, maybe you did, but we were talking and, but the woman that his partner is also married.
Well, she has a boyfriend, or she had a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, boyfriend, sorry. Yeah, but she had a partner or whatever. Like, it wasn't like, so they were both.
Boom! You get to the part where fucking Jones threw that dude up?
No, he doesn't throw that dude. He picks him off the ground with one arm, Kurt. He picks him up. He slams him up against the gate, and he's holding him above his head. The dude's a short dude, too, and he's way above Jones's head. And then he looks at Metaboy, and he has one arm pinning him up against the wall, and he's pointing at Metaboy with something else.
Yep.
He held him with one arm.
Yep. Yeah. It was like, hey, guess who's here?
It's me, bitch.
It's the fucking Dwayne Johnson of the... Which is his name. We don't call him The Rock anymore.
Don't tap the tank.
That was funny because I don't think I've ever understood Sipowicz more in my life. Because I've seen people where they go to like look at something and I'm like, don't do what I know you're going to do. Please.
Yeah.
You're going to touch the thing, it's going to break, and I'm going to have to fix it. Don't do it.
Yeah, like, hey, I know you really want to touch this. Just please don't. Like, just use every fiber in your body to just not touch this.
And then I love it when like, they get offended. Like, I wasn't going to do it. It's like, you were.
You were.
I'm seeing your fingers. I'm seeing the wheels in your head. I know you're about to do it.
If you weren't going to do it, why are you so mad about it? It's like when we catch people stealing at work,
uh-huh.
right? And like we know they're gonna steal. Like I know you're gonna steal. Like I'm not an idiot. Like you have like 400 pounds of salmon. Like I'm not stupid. But my favorite thing is when you like try to stop them and they're just like, man, that's fucked up. I'm not stealing. Like I'm not stealing. That's fucked up. And it's like, well, then why are you making such a big deal out of it?
Speaking of racist, he just said how to a Native American man and did this for no fucking reason. That part right there, like, fucking shocked me.
He's testing him.
I was like, what the fuck, dude? No reason to do that.
What shocked you, Kirk? He's an Indian. It doesn't matter. We haven't given a shit about the Indians since we got here. So also, what makes you think we're okay now?
Did you find this guy as funny as I did, the dude in the jumpsuit? Or the...
With the bag over his head?
No, this guy. With the, like, colored shirt, who keeps talking shit.
Yeah, it's hella funny.
It's like, who's that, the unknown comic? Man, I like him. And it's like, that's funny shit.
That's hella funny.
And he's like this raggedy-ass hood. Look at the mirror. That dude's hilarious. That whole scene was just funny. It was just comedy on comedy.
But those, like, that is like a like that man is a specific like New York person. Like I can tell you that like I don't know that person, but I've dealt with that person.
You've seen him enough around.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's a personality like I feel like is only in New York. Like that's the one thing I really like about this show now that I've lived here for a while. Like they do a really good job of the side characters and the secondary characters being very like New York. Very New York.
Very authentic. Like,
yeah, it's really good.
Real people. I think, and you know, maybe right now it's Russell saying, like, do I tell Kirkendall that I know her ex-husband's dead? But what's interesting about this show that I think the reason we like it so much and we gravitated towards it is because we're from Southern California and, like, our archetypes are so different. Not completely different. But they definitely feel different, like surfer dudes and like desert people. Like I'm trying to think of people in California that you meet, like muscle heads. Like it's just a little different than New York and their archetypes.
So yeah, like, but also New Yorkers like there's obviously a lot of differences. Like one thing is, they're on top of each other all the time.
Yep.
Like, you're around somebody all the time. I always, like, joke with people who are from New York. I'm like, you guys are friendly, but you're not. Like, the way you say, like, good morning and shit, like people in California won't greet each other. And won't say, like, hey, have a good day. But, like, you guys will, but you'll say it in a way that's, like, were they being nice? Or, like, are they mad that they have to tell me, like, hi? And people are like, yeah, that's true. He's like, look, I've had people be like, look, we're going through stuff. But, like, we're not going to be rude about it.
This dude.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I like this dude because, like, he has such a short scene. But, like, I felt like he came across exactly the way he needed to, and he did it really well, where it's just like, look, I broke up with her, man. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I broke up with her. Was she with a partner? Yeah, probably, but that's not my problem.
And also, he's being a little sarcastic because he's like, I have nothing to do with her, man. Can I just fucking go?
Yeah. Like, he plays a guy who is over it so fast. Like, yeah, so well. He is a guy that is, like, you can tell is, like, He had a relationship with this person, but he is emotionally done with her. Like, he does a pretty good job.
And sure, this place
keeps getting mad at him. I was simply, do you want me to like you for this homicide?
I also love how he's like, I was the doorman over here, and they're all like, oh, well, you got off, like, you got off at 7, it happened at 7:15. He's like, yeah, I drove 80 miles an hour to go murder this dude in the middle of the street. Sure.
Yeah. For this woman, I don't give a fuck about it anymore.
Well, it's also cool because he basically came in because they're like, hey, we want information on this thing. And he finds out what it's about, and he's like, oh, great, I have to talk about my ex-girlfriend. Like, that's something I want to do today. And...
yeah, he's like...
oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, it's also like, that dude is, like, painfully generic white guy, and his ex-girlfriend's, like, pretty attractive. So be like, yeah, you lost a very awesome girlfriend to her partner.
Again, yeah, like, he's generic. Well, we don't know what the other guy looks like because he's dead, but
he's the hero
because...
he looked like Dave Caruso.
Well, from the top.
From the top,
like, his hair. He's got Caruso hair, for sure. And he's got that Caruso fashion sense, but that's just cop, though.
And here, they're deciding to give Jones the wheel on his first interview. And he grabs the sheet, and he walks in. And then all the vets take a look at each other, like, hey, you want to go watch this guy?
Yeah, that's weird, right? Shouldn't they give him a heads up they're going to watch him? Like, isn't that courtesy?
You'd think so. It's also funny, like, John's like, can I watch?
Yeah, why is John going? That's pretty funny.
All I gotta say is this. I would not cop an attitude with a guy who looks like Jones.
Never, dude.
He is huge. Ever.
Especially a cop, because, like, you know they somewhat know how to use their hands. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
they've had some training.
It's not like he's had some training on how to, like, take down a perp or, like, fight if he needed to get into combat one-on-one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just
and we constantly talk about, you know, like hitting suspects and whatnot. The only thing they have on this dude is that they heard secondhand that he felt like he did a bad thing and was kind of freaking out. That's all they know. They don't know it was him that shot this guy. They just know he did something really messed up. So when he gets all, like, sarcastic and ridiculous and Jones hits him, you're like, we don't know that he did it yet.
Yeah, and isn't he supposed to be, like, from the bias unit?
Yep.
Like, he's supposed to, like, not do this type of shit.
But the show does do that thing where, like, the main characters, they'll never hit a perp and we find out they didn't do it.
Yeah, that's true. They're not going to put them to look bad, make them the villain. Unless they're doing it to, like, change the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's like a drastic, like, story arc change. But yeah, they're definitely not going to make it. Like, it's like a Mike Roberts type change, you know?
Yeah. Like, they'll throw.
But even then you kind of knew Mike Roberts was shifty and shitty.
They threw Vince under the bus. They had an episode where he's like, "I've been beating this dude for like 8 hours," and you're like, "What?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, what, dude?"
Yeah, but then because it's I don't know where we are in the Vince Vitale drama, but he's been fired, right?
I think is he gone? Because didn't he have the bus then?
Yeah, the whole bus incident where he stole the bus and drove people home.
Yeah, I think that's already happened. It must have. Because he lost...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it happened after he lost being delegate, I think.
Yeah, it's like he had nothing left to live for.
And then they give their approval. That's a good interview.
Was it though? Like, was it good?
I don't know.
He scared the shit out of the guy.
There is a decent case for intimidation if the dude didn't admit to exactly what happened with the guy, but
yeah,
we're gonna let that go.
Let it go. We're not gonna talk about it. It's just gonna be something that we all know, but we're not gonna talk about it.
I also love this scene where it's like Jones is getting ready to go work out, and then Metavoid comes and is like, "I got ink all over my hands." Boom! There it is.
That's why we brought him in, dude.
I also love how... I love two things. One, he is standing so that you get a full view of it. Like, he's standing very specifically. And two, when Metavoid turns around and takes a look, he's like, "Well, okay. Well, can't look at that."
He might as well have had, like, fucking cartoon eyes. Or when Jim Carrey and the mask turned into the wolf.
Yeah.
When he saw Cameron Diaz, that's the type of shit he was close to doing. Like.
Also, it's also funny how he's like, "I'm going to go for a run." And then Meta was like, "Oh, I was going to invite you to dinner." And then Jones was like, "Oh, you want to go get dinner?" And he's like, "Nah, no dinner." He's like, "You want to go on the run with me?" He's like, "Nah, I don't want to do that." It's like, okay, do you want to hang out with this dude or not, dude? Like,
yeah, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
you suggested it. He said, "Well, we can." And then you said no. And then he suggested something else, and you said no.
It's like you got a little crush, dude. It's like, why does that boy have to say things twice?
I don't know, man. He's also kind of given like the first day, like. Hi, like, goodbye to everybody. Thanks for helping me out. And they're like, oh, he's working well so far. And then a conversation with the boss. Where they both kind of meet each other and say, like, oh, it's because we... Because we both meet people where they are, and that other guy doesn't. And Fancy lets him know it's because Jones's old boss hates somebody that works for Fancy. Which is Sipowicz.
Yeah. But why... So one thing that's always confused me about this episode is, why does he say I'm not a boss hater?
Oh, I think he's trying to let him know that he's not just a difficult person to work with. It was a personal situation between him and his last boss. It's not him having a problem with authority. It's him having a problem with that specific guy who is his last boss.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's what he meant. And then here's... Sipowicz. Here's Sipowicz making fun of Baldwin's name for no fucking reason. And Sorensen is like, okay, I guess we'll just keep doing our forms.
Baldwin Joe.
And then the hot other woman comes back to figure out who they collared up.
Don't you think that she's just, like, opening herself up to more pain and scrutiny by coming in to get more information?
Well, I think she had overheard that they arrested some guy.
Sorry, I can't stop coughing.
I think she kind of came back to confirm that it definitely had nothing to do with her. And make sure that they weren't going to make their relationship a big thing amongst the departments. Even though they let her know they're not going to.
then, like, I don't know, I found it weird that, like, they tell her, like, this is what his wife said. Like, I don't know.
I find it weird that Sorensen looks like he's about to fucking cry. Like, he's given, like, 10-year-old who dropped his ice cream cone face. And it's like...
So you mean he's fucking going for it?
Like, it's like, what do you... Like, she, I think, is delivering a pretty good performance of, like, trying to get the information, trying to keep it together. And wanting to make sure that her life isn't completely upside down, even though her life is completely upside down. Then a little arm touch from Russ.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? How is that woman's life upside down?
Oh, because she lost the person that she was, like, in love with, who happened to be who she worked with, and... Even though they're not going to let it out to everybody else, she knows it's going to be kind of... Like, her life is completely different now.
I think the wife of the...
Oh, no, her life is upside down, too. I'm not saying that one
is way different than hers.
Yeah, I'm not saying one is worse than the other. I'm just saying that, well, both of them...
Hey, fair enough.
And now we hear, now we have Russell basically telling Jill that Don's dead without saying the words, which is so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she also never said that to Sipowicz, even though Sipowicz probably figured it out immediately.
Yeah. So, would you say, like... I don't know her name. I don't have it pulled up. But would you say, like, Meryl Streep, Viola Davis, and then Jill Kirkendall, like, greatest acting performances or performers of all time?
You know, I don't think I'd be comfortable saying that, Kyle.
And Olivia Colman, even, maybe. And we'll put all four of them on the Rushmore for actors.
Well, also, like, I mean, and no offense to Jill Kirkendall, but, like, what did you think was going to happen? Don is an idiot, and he's pissed off a bunch of drug lords. You think he was going to be chilling in Hawaii?
It's Hawaii, but
Sorry. I apologize to the Hawaiian people.
The Hawaiian people. Like Samoa. Kirk, I rewatched Fast 6, dude, and that is a piece of fucking shit.
Like, well, we're off the rails. We are so off the rails now.
That movie was fucking garbage, dude.
First off, Fast 6 is not great.
Fast 5 is Brazil.
Yes.
Like, but that shit was... Fucking caca, dude.
But you want to talk about garbage, man. Rewatch Fast 9 or F9, The Fast Saga. That movie is trash.
I can't wait for Fast 10 Part 1 and 2. How bad it's going to be.
And now we're at the end of NYPD Blue.
Yeah, we're just watching Kirkendall stare into a random window. Contemplating the death of Don.
It is interesting that she gets told about Don and she literally goes back to her desk, turns around, and then stares at the window. It's like, okay. So
I get it. Like, you know, you know this man has been in your life, you know, you have kids with him. You always thought he could have been something other than what he ended up being. Which was a horrible father and husband. But, isn't she, like, a little bit happy?
I mean, the whole Kirkendall situation is so confusing. because there were so many episodes where back and forth it was like, get away from me, I'm done with you. And then he shows back up, and then she's like, well, I can't just leave him. Then randomly lets Russell know, like, oh, yeah, I helped him beat a tail, and I helped him with information. It's like, oh, so you did illegal shit with this man. Cool. Like, it's all over the joint.
But you act like it's just so easy for her to, like, disassociate, like, the feelings that she had for him for a long time, you know?
I feel like it'd be easy if it puts your fucking kids in danger.
That's true. Like, yeah, he has put those kids in danger.
And he is so, so clearly stupid. Like, the decisions he's made just in the episodes we've seen him in are so stupid that you'd figure she'd be like, I need to cut this dude out because holy shit.
Nah, he made that one good decision of getting him getting Kyle the better suit.
Yeah, that was... You're right.
I mean, credit. Give props when props are deserved, sir.
So anyway, along came Jones. First episode of Baldwin Jones, and it's a pretty good one. We find out that he's strong as hell, that he's cut from marble, and that he can do an interview if that interview involves punching a dude in the face.
Do you think, I just thought about this as it ended, do you think they got a bunch of, like, hate mail for the scene where Baldwin goes to John and gets John's, like, knees all weak?
Maybe.
I have a feeling. I don't know. I just like to think about those things. Like, because it's like a different time, but it's not that far long ago, right?
Yeah.
Like 30 years ago. But like 30 years ago, like, someone probably, if someone watched this episode for the first time, to be like, you know, what's this NYPD Blue all about? They could have watched it and then been like, gross. Like, that's disgusting. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, and then, like, it just makes me think, like, what a weird time.
To me, it's weird how, because I did watch the episode after this one, basically when I
Everybody
was...
Everybody Plays the Mule?
Yeah. I just threw that on when I was doing some stuff in my room. And, like, it reminds me about this show that, like, it has no problems throwing out some side boob at you. It's got no problems basically, like, getting up to the edge of softcore pornography between men and women. But at that same time, it couldn't show any homosexual or, like, LGBTQ+. It couldn't show anybody who has kind of, like, odd sexual habits without either demonizing them or making them very strange.
Unless you were a cheater.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And then it was okay.
Like, it was...
'Cause even in the end of this show, even in the end of this episode, the dude is looked at as, like, still a good dude. And I'm not saying that, like, don't take that the wrong way. I'm not saying that, like, cheating makes you good or bad, or, like, there's, like, obviously a lot more things that go into what's going on. But, like, the whole episode, I feel like, demonizes, or, like, looks at the women and, like, what they did wrong. And it doesn't really talk about, like, oh, no, maybe this dude did the wrong thing.
Yeah, for real.
Maybe what this guy did was not cool. Like, granted, maybe, like, yeah, okay, he had some things going on in his life, but he didn't handle them the best way, so let's not treat it like he did.
Because, yeah, even the wife described it as, like, oh, well, he was meeting his responsibilities with his boys. He just was so unhappy because he wasn't his true self because he was cheating on me. And it's like, what? And then she's like, well, I don't view her as a selfish girl. I think he just needed to find the right way. And it's like, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's like that episode in Freaking Geeks.
When you find out, like, one of the characters' dads is cheating.
Yeah, and like, but the mom's reaction is like, I know, but it makes him like a better father. I think it might have been in like the episode where the person was like, yeah, I know he was cheating, but like he was way more attentive. He cared. Like, it was like, oh, so we're just like, we're cool with it.
It's an awkward situation because this episode was trying to bring up this giant thing that would immediately make you think, okay, this has something to do with the dude's murder, but it is just a giant decoy from what actually happened. And how do we wrap it up so that nobody's the bad guy?
Yeah.
Like, how do we wrap it up so it's like, okay, so the woman he's cheating with, she has nothing to do with it. Her boyfriend, nothing to do with it. His wife, nothing to do with it. How do we, and then circle it around to make sure that nobody finds anybody at fault, even though there's a whole bunch of fault that's going around. Yep. Along came Jones. Well, Baldwin Jones is now in the picture. And, yeah, that's where we're at with NYPD Blue. Anything else on this episode before we bounce?
Well, no, it's a good episode. It takes some interesting turns here and there.
I enjoy that it has two separate shakedown montages.
Well, they gotta let you know what Jones is all about, you know?
Yeah, they gotta let you know that Jones is the real deal.
Real deal Holyfield, you know?
Alrighty. Later, everybody.
Thank you again for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls. If you need more NYPD Blue in your life, every episode of NYPD Blue is currently on Hulu, but it's important to note they have the syndication edits. So if you need the full edits, you might have to go over to Amazon or buy those DVDs if it's possible for you. Or you can do something possibly illegal that I would never suggest with the power of the internet. If you need more NYPD Blue information in your life, there's a couple of books out there. What Would Sipwits Do? A collection of articles about the show. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. And then an unofficial guide to NYPD Blue by Gene Kendall, which is on Amazon for 99 cents. A steal at that price. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Asher Bros Pod on Twitter, Asher Brothers Podcast on Instagram. We may not be on Twitter for very long because, you know, things going on with Twitter. Anyway, we drop new NYPD Blue Balls every other Tuesday and mostly use those accounts to mention it. Have a good one, peace, and enjoy more NYPD Blue!